That's when death was arrested and my life began. I love that. I love that. That's when we were living in the rest stop. And God saved us, and that's really when our life began. I know that's hard to imagine if you're saved at a really young age, but you talk to someone that was saved older after a mess of their life, and that's when life begins. And what a cool thing. Thank you so much, Justin and men, for doing that. Justin kind of gets into that singing, don't he? That's pretty cool. I like that. Excellent song. I love it. Just like, yeah, I miss the junior high students. I miss my wife. My wife has been, Pastor Satuma has been like 6 weeks without his wife. My wife has been gone for like 3 nights, and I'm going crazy. She went to a counseling conference where they train counselors. I think in the first service, I said she went to an anxiety conference. And I'm not sure if what I'm going to get in trouble when I get home, but she does an awful lot of counseling. And one of the biggest things is anxiety. One of the bigger things that are coming out of today's society is anxiety in all different kinds of form. So she's at an anxiety conference, and I'm worried about her. Somebody gets it anyway. Yes, I'm having anxiety over her anyway. First service laughed. Come on, wake up. Boy. So we're going to take offering for the second sermon you're having today. And so if Usher, no, I'm just kidding. I really appreciated Pastor Satuma's sharing with us. And you guys have really helped out a lot in his ministry with paying for the shipping container to be shipped and a lot of different things like that. And so I appreciate him being grateful for that. One of the things that I just want to let you know in 2 weeks from now, just so you know this, 2 weeks from now, Pastor Bob and I are putting together a message. Probably he'll be delivering, but we're putting together a message about homosexuality. That's a huge topic right now. And the more I talk to people, the more there is somebody in your family struggling with that. And as you go down the line, and a lot of us are hit by that. And I just want you to know we're putting together a sermon about that. And it's interesting in light of that the church down at the end of town that's been flying the rainbow flag, someone burnt that flag and did that kind of stuff to it. I just want you to know, I would be hugely disappointed if it was someone from this church that did that. Because that is not the way to handle these kind of situations. And I just want you to know that one of the reasons we're talking about it is because since it's so prevalent today, we want to take a look at what the Bible says specifically about homosexuality. And we also want to look at how, as believers, what love truly is in a situation with unbelievers or people that are going against God's word. And so I want you to know that's coming up, because just, you know, I don't care if you invite people. It doesn't really matter to me. But one thing I don't want to do, I want you to know that we're emphasizing is the love of Christ, but the love that's the right kind of love for people that are disobeying God. And so you can be sure of that. But that's in 2 weeks from now. And so that gives me this week and next week to finish up on serving. We've been on serving for a long time. And we've been talking about serving. It seems like it's been like 8 years now. It hasn't been. But why am I teaching about serving? Why are we spending so much? It's not been that long. I'm talking about, 5 weeks or something. But why are we spending so much time on serving? And I want to answer that question. And I think, you know, when a pastor gets up and talks about giving, all right, what is that a sign of sometimes? People aren't giving enough, right? So we have a sermon about money. That's because people need to give more. So, we're talking about serving. Why are we talking about serving so much and using your spiritual gifts, which is serving, whether it's your talents empowered by God or your spiritual gifts empowered by God? Are we saying this because we really need volunteers? Yes. Okay, that is one of the reasons we're doing it. This is by far not the main reason. Partly is the reason we're doing this, and the reason we use a lot of volunteers is because we have a value system in this church. that places value on people serving. Because every single person that serves in this church saves money for this church. And we're not trying to become rich. We are trying to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if somebody can clean a bathroom, if somebody can babysit some kids, that saves us the money of hiring them. And every hour we serve is sending money to some high impact ministries around the world where the gospel is taught and where people are saved. Because people are serving in this church, we hire less people. When 20 some guys show up to replace a roof, we save a pile of money. When we don't have to hire a cleaning lady, when we don't have to have a janitor, when we don't have to have a maintenance man, because people use their gifts and their talents or spiritual gifts or come without any talents and just serve in whatever way they can, we save money. And the money is being saved so that we can give more money away. You know, you guys don't give because we ask you to give. Sometimes we say, because you're giving like a ridiculous amount of money here. Do we need the money? We don't need it. Does God need it? He doesn't need it. But there are people in Africa, and there are people in India, and there are people all around the world that do not have the liberties and the freedom that we have. And we are using that money to impact the world. We support 20 or 30 pastors in India full time that are making an impact in the world. We're impacting the school in Kenya in a small way. We have huge amounts of impact. So our kingdom priority is to pour as many resources into missions, high impact missions. That means we rely heavily on volunteers, people who step up and serve Christ, and serve Christ by serving this church, by doing things like, I'm going to leave some out, I don't care, during repairs, cleaning, nursery, child care, for mops, for mom to mom, for K. This morning I said JFK. I was told afterwards that, you know, we're not really affecting JFK anymore. But KFJ, and where am I at? I distracted myself. Yeah, mops, KFJ, media team, sound team, first impressions team, carpet cleaning, trash removal, snow removal, praise team, celebrate recovery, greeters, ushers, elders, chair setters, teachers, hospitality team, giving people, encouraging people, and the guests will go on and on and on of people that are using their talents to serve the Lord. And every single hour used to serve the Lord in this church impacts our world for Jesus Christ. Everyone is valuable. Every hour is valuable. Do we need your help? Yes, but that is not the main reason why we're teaching about serving. The main reason we're teaching about serving, and this is where you use your talents and your gifts to serve God. So whether it's knowing your spiritual gifts or knowing your talent and being empowered by God to serve it, using your gifts for the king, here's the main reason. Because we have more volunteer help than most churches that I know. But the main reason that I'm challenging you and week after week to use your gifts, to find out where your gifts is, to serve God, because it fuels your spiritual growth. Not the churches, it fuels your spiritual growth. You were created to serve. And if you are not serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, using your spiritual gift, exercising those muscles, they atrophy, and you become someone who just sits there and talks about the service and complains about the service, which this is awesome church because I don't hear any of that. Fortunately, you do it behind my back, but I'm just kidding. But man, when you serve, you realize that, wow, I'm out of my comfort zone. And you depend on God, and you go to God for your dependence, and God, that's what He wants, and we have faith in God, and we trust God, and we exercise that gift, even though we're not sure if it's any good, and even though we're doing it, we're out of our comfort zone, and we grow stronger and stronger. It's like pumping iron. It's like it fuels your spiritual growth. That's what I want to see happen. I want you to grow spiritually. That's my job, to have you grow spiritually, and I can talk, and I can challenge you. But I want you to grow spiritually. And I'm not just talking about using your spiritual gifts and talents in this church ministry. You'll see that a little bit later on in next week as we get into that. But it grows your faith as you rely on Christ. That people don't eat. As we rely on Christ to empower our weaknesses. And I mean, literally, what's the Bible say I can do? All things through Christ who gives me strength. See, it's about Christ in us coming out and using our gifts and our talents. Another thing it does for us, I love this. It grows when we serve God, whatever we're doing. When we serve God, it grows our, it grows our sense of self-worth. Our sense of self-worth. I'm a valuable person. God used me to clean this toilet. Amen. Said like someone that messes up our toilets. Yeah. Lucky I don't know who said that. I'd point at you, you know. Yeah, it really does. Your sense of self-worth to use your talents. You're saying, wow, God used me in some way. And it's like, nice. And all of a sudden, and in today's society, there's all this stuff about self-worth and your self-esteem and all that kind of stuff. I'm telling you what, you can't get any better self-esteem than to serving God. Not pride, but self-esteem. God even uses me in certain areas. It grows your sense of self-worth as you find your place in serving and using your giftedness. I'm valuable here. The guys that set up the chairs are valuable in this place. They do ministry. The babysitters are valuable in this place. Every single person is valued to God. And to serve God, there's a sense of, I'm serving the King. And what's the Bible say? It's better to be a doorkeeper in the, how's that verse go? It's better to be a doorkeeper in the kingdom of heaven than something else. You know, something else great on earth, you know? Just to know you're serving God is awesome. That's the second thing that serving God and using your spiritual gifts does. And the other thing that I really, really like about serving, it grows our testimony to those people that are watching. As a church, it grows our testimony to those people that are watching. Your friends are watching you. Your neighbors are watching you. You know what else? You know who else is watching our church? Other churches in Pine Grove are watching our church. I don't think they all know what to do about it, even though it's been a long time, but they're watching our church. They're looking for a mistake from this church, and they're seeing unity. They're seeing a sense of serving God by people. And I get a call every once in a while saying, what are you guys doing? Is it your music? How can we have music like yours? Is it your youth group? How can we have a youth? I don't know what we're doing, but we are serving God, and we are being watched, and we can't afford to stop serving. We can't afford to stop growing. Because if we don't grow, we're going to start to shrink. And we are a witness for God in this community. You are a witness for God. And serving is the best way to grow. Serving is really spiritually the fastest and most lasting way to grow. You can get all kinds of smarts about the Bible. But if we're not applying them, what in the world good are smarts? That was my identifying with you Dutchy people. So, as we're going through this series, still another week or maybe two, use your gifts. Find your gifts. Start serving. I'll tell you what, serving is awesome. And last elders meeting, we had to give another $32,000 away. To supply God's kingdom at work. That's since I told you the last 64 or whatever. You know, it's just, you guys are doing amazing, amazing. And God is using this church in ways we will never know. And it's interesting. I know a couple of you guys went and helped Satuma catalog books, which sounds really terrible to me. All right? And because you guys gave and shipped that container, someday when we're out of this rest stop and on our way to the kingdom of God, when we get to the kingdom of God or on our way to the kingdom of God, someone will come up to you with dark skin and say, thank you for serving so I could learn. And there'll be whole groups of people that know Christ are in heaven right now because you served and you helped train a pastor to go into the rest of the world. See, that's what the body is working together. That's just awesome. I love this. So that was the end of my message. I got that in so I can make sure it gets in there because we're running low on time because I allowed Pastor Tuma to really encourage us, which I really appreciated him doing. But understand that the difference real quickly, the difference between spiritual gifts and talents is Every single believer is given a spiritual gift. At the moment of salvation, you are marked in God with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit, who instantly brings something new into your life that you didn't hear. Has a spiritual gift for you to use. Please understand that he a lot of times brings more than one spiritual gift. But the other thing that he does, he takes the talents that he gave you at birth, or before birth, when he knit you together in your mother's womb, takes those talents that you're naturally good at, naturally have a propensity to do, and he empowers them. We said last, he boom babies them, you know? He just like, bam, they're just not talents anymore. They're being used by God. So you are called to use your talents and your gifts by God. And so, what I'd like to look at today is just want to go through the passages in the scripture, real plainly and simply, that start talking about specifics of spiritual gifts. Now, today is going to be a little bit, we're going to stick with the Bible and these spiritual gifts. Next, at the end of the service today and next week, we're going to like break these spiritual gifts down and say, so that sounds good, prophecy, but how does it come out in my life now? That sounds good about all these gifts, but what does it look like now? So we're going to get really, really practical the end of this session and next week. So I'm really hugely looking forward to that. And you'll be able to say, oh, I can do that. Well, I can, you know, when you read these, it's like, I don't know if my gifts are in there. One thing I want to tell you. Maybe I already said this. Sometimes I get mixed up with the first service and they're a pain, but you guys are really cool. That spiritual gifts, we're going to read a list of them. In some places you look for lists of spiritual gifts, they're really long, some of them are shorter and stuff like that. This is not an exhaustive list of spiritual gifts. So if somehow you know your spiritual gift and you say, I'm not any of them, don't worry, we'll get to that at the end of this service and next week, okay? This is just some of the four passages of scripture that talk about spiritual gifts. Here we go, Ephesians 4. 11 to 12. Ephesians 4, 11 to 12. I love seeing you look in your Bibles and see this stuff because you can underline it, remember it. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Simply in my notes, that's a two-line thing, and you got to understand, he starts to name some. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. What is it for? To equip believers. This is my job. This comes under some of my gifting. This is my job to equip his people for works of service. But why? Why does he equip us for works of service? Why does he bring gifts into our life? So that God's people may be built up. We are called to use these gifts in church and outside of church. But not just outside of church, but in church, I'm not serving God. We are called to build believers, whether inside or outside of church. We are called to use our gifts for people so that the body of Christ may build up, so that some people can come to know Christ, so there's more believers in God's family, so more people can stop living in the rest stop and start living and looking for the kingdom of God. That's what our gifts are for. So he names a couple and says specifically what they're for. Now, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 11. And now this is interesting. It starts to get interesting. It was. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters. I don't want you to be uninformed. Now remember, you don't want to be uninformed, so that there are different kinds of spiritual gifts. I already told you that. There are different kinds. You don't all have my gifting. You don't all have my talents. Some of you have talents and giftings that are way past mine. And I appreciate you being here and putting up with my smaller ones. But it said there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all them and everyone, it's the same God at work. Now, what is that trying to tell us? What is that trying to tell us? One gift is better than the other? Is that trying to name the gifts? What's it saying about gifts? Come on, someone think. If you know what it, just say it. I'll tell you if you're wrong. It's different kinds of gifts, but what's the one thing in common with these? The same spirit. God himself distributes you these gifts to people. It's the same spirit. Now, if God gave you a gift that you think is small, and if God gave me a gift that you think is bigger, which one is the most important? Neither. It's the gift God gave us. That's the most important gift. And just remember this as we go on through here.
There are different kinds of gifts, the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service for the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but all them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The showing up of the Spirit in your talents, the showing up of the Spirit in your gifts is for the common good. They are not given to glorify me. And we see so many people with especially upfront gifts that seem to glorify themselves. And if I ever come across that way, shame on me. We see this a lot. To each one, the manifestation. So if you have what you think is a small gift in first service, my microphone wasn't working. And the sound lady came down and she fixed my phone thing or the whatever this is. That's all I know about it, you know. That's an important gift, and that's the gift God had given them to do. That was as important as delivering the message. It's the same Spirit, the same God, every one of us. The same Spirit is given for the common good. Now, there's given through the Spirit's message, there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. That's another gift. Another, a message of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between Spirit. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, interpretation of tongues. All these are work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one as He determines. Understand, again, they're emphasizing, it's the same Spirit, it's the same God. And God gives you the talents and the gifts when He comes into your life that He chose you and created you to use. That's just a huge thing to understand, because we start fighting with jealousy over gifts, and their gifts are gooder, mine isn't gooder. Their gifts aren't as gooder as mine, you know? And we all worry about what shows up on the outside, and God looks at the heart. It's the same Spirit. And He distributes them to each person, each Christ follower, just as He determines. And then we get to 1 Corinthians 12:27 to 31. Now you are the body of Christ. When you talked about this last week, when you become a Christ follower, you became part of a body, the body of Christ, God's kingdom on earth. You are part of the body of Christ, and each one of you is part on it, is part of it. And God has placed in the church. Now this is interesting, because all of a sudden I'm saying they're the same, they're just as important, God gives them. Now all of a sudden He's making a list. He seems to start at the most important ones and work down. Okay, you understand what I'm saying here, and we'll understand this in a minute, hopefully. You are the body of Christ, and each one is part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. God kind of starts, and he kind of makes a list, like some of them are more important. But understand something. When God says apostles, now the apostles are finished today. There aren't more apostles coming. He gets into teaching and pastoral things. But what He's talking about here is the gift of sharing the gospel. The gift of making the gospel appealing and known to people. And I want to just go out on a limb and say, every single one of you guys, you might have a better talent or a not so better talent, but every one of us is asked to go into the world and preach the gospel to each person. So it seems to be a more important gift because it brings people to Jesus Christ. And some of the other ones do too. You'll see as we go on probably next week. But first of all, apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gift of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? No, it says, obviously, we don't all have exactly the same gifts. And then it says, now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Eagerly desire the greater gifts. So it seems to make, these are the ones that are leading people to Christ, and these are the ones all, and then it gets down into speaking in tongues and interpreting in tongues. Now there's a big, and I'm not going to spend more time on it, we've done this before, it puts tongues at the bottom, and then it says, now eagerly desire the greater gifts, which seems to say the gifts that come before that might be greater. There's a misconception about tongues.
And tongues, I believe without a doubt, that tongues publicly is a known language. To speak a language you don't know, and God gives you the ability to learn that language, or just in some cases, just to give you that language and you speak and people hear it in a different thing. The interpretation is interpretation of a language. The only place that I really believe that God says speaking in tongues is when you're privately by yourself in your closet and you're communicating with God. And I've experienced that before. You know, sometimes it sounds like my wife is speaking in tongues when I did something wrong and she's talking to me about it. I don't understand a thing what you say, but I see the emotion. You know, men kind of normally, not all the time, but have a different emotion than that. And, you know, how was work? Well, I made a noise. I was, one of the things that I heard once that we sent a girl to a missions thing, and she came back from a missions place, and she said, everything went good, except they say you got to speak in tongues. In order to get more of the Holy Spirit, you got to speak in tongues. And she went up to the leaders, and I wasn't trained in this. How do you do it? They just said, open your mouth and make noises, and you'll get it down real simple like that. I have a real problem with tongues in public. Unless it's a language written, a known language, and you're speaking it. But I've been in my closet before. Not my closet, but I've been praying to God before. And I'm praying to God, and I'm thinking, God, there's this friend of mine, or there's somebody that's in my life that's not living for the Lord, one of my kids. And it's like, God, I don't even know what to say. Just, you ever in that situation? And what the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit interprets that, takes what we're feeling inside and sends it to God as a prayer. It's just sometimes noises come out like I no, you know, and that could mean all kinds of stuff. I don't speak in tongues, okay? I'm just saying. Now, if you have a difference of opinion on tongues, I don't really care, okay? It's not a big deal. Okay, I'm just telling you that the Bible seems to refer to that as a lesser gift, and the other ones are much more service and speaking oriented and stuff like that. So if you're gonna, but when you know, in my, that's the last thing I'll say about this. In my dealing with churches and people and things like that, what is probably one of the greatest gifts that you hear talked about or sought after in this world, especially in some churches? What's that? See, these aren't the ones I thought of. I hear speaking in tongues all the time. Do you speak in tongues in your church? Does this happen? Does that, well, I spoke. It seems like Satan took the kind of the least, the more self-edifying one between you and God. And in some churches makes it, you got to seek for this. And I think the Bible says, no, seek for the ones that teach. Seek for the ones that have wisdom. Seek for the ones that serve. Seek the greater gifts, okay? So I'm just, that's my personal opinion on that, and I don't mean to offend you, but you're used to it. But anyway, so that's kind of what I take from there. Desire the greater gifts, the one that is most God-honoring and most glorifying to God, who came to seek and to save the lost. Romans 12, 6 to 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. And if it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. What is this saying? Is this saying, oh, these are the cool gifts? What is the saying? What is he trying to say here? Do what he says. Do your gift. God has given you a gift. Do it. I don't really care what gift God has given you. Whatever gift God gives you is from Him, and I'm supporting it. You are called to serve. That's the whole tone of this. If it's your prophesying, then prophesy in accordance. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, if it's giving courage, and just on and on. Find out what your talent is that God will be able to empower. Find out what your gift is, or gifts, or a whole list of gifts, and use them
Don't just sit there and think, oh, I'll take this, you know, gift test, this spirit. I was thinking about taking time to do a spiritual gifts test. I'm not going to do that. We're just going to show you a lot of gifts next week. We're going to talk about them and over the next week or so, and we're going to be looking at these, and you're going to see, I could do that, and I could do that, and I've done that, and I can do it. These gifts might be bigger names than you're used to. But the important thing is God said, I knit you together to do good works, which I prepared in advance for you to do. Go into all the world and teach. Go use your gifts. Serve. Because then you will grow and your dependence on me as you step out and serve, your dependence on God gets bigger. And people say, have your quiet time. You start serving for a while in some ministries and you will have to have your quiet time. Because people start asking you questions that you'll be like, wow, I need to look that up. And all of a sudden, you'll be in your Bible to become wise. And I just think it's really cool. So whatever you do, if it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. That is what God asks us to do. So the spiritual gifts that I think are listed specifically in the Bible, and some of the longer lists take one thing that happened in the Bible called a spiritual gift, and I would totally agree with it, but we don't have time to do all them. Spiritual gifts are prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leadership, mercy, words of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and healing, helps, governments, or that means leadership, diversity of tongues. These are all spiritual gifts. Every one of them is a spiritual gift. God can give you anyone he wants that fit under those categories. He can give you a completely unique one. God is God. He is an awesome God. So what I'd like to do, I'd like to start out today, just finish it up with a little bit of practical, a little bit, just give you a little taste of next week. I want to show you a video, a 4-minute video, and some ideas of practical ministries. And some of you guys might be doing this, and the world is doing some of these things. But remember what I said, when we're given the Holy Spirit, He empowers our natural instincts. He empowers our natural desire to serve God. He empowers our talents. And he also brings new ones in that you never even thought of. And that's why I've been challenging to please think about this. Think about this. So I'm going to give you a little taste. And then next week, we're going to be really specific about some of these things and look at examples of them. So watch the video. Get some ideas from it.
This morning, saw a world full of trouble. Now I thought, how'd we ever get so far down? And how's it ever gonna turn around? So I turned my eyes to heaven. I thought, God, why don't you do something? Well, I just couldn't bear the thought of people living in poverty, children sold into slavery. The thought disgusted me, so I shook my fist at heaven. God, why don't you do something? He said, I did. Yeah. I created you. If not us, then who? If not me and you, right now. Well, it's time for us
I just think that gives us a little idea of the variety of talents and gifts that God can empower to use in this world. Just some of them. You know, when I was growing up, I don't know if they do, Coke had a commercial, one of their favorite commercials, like, you know, what the world needs now. Oh, no, that's not it. That was what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Who was that? Beatles. Oh, I'm not advertising the Beatles, but I'm just telling you, they had a song like that. But such truth. But it's not love the way the world gives it. It's not love to let people die and spend a crisis eternity. They need the love of Christ. They need to know that God shed his blood. They need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need to see the gospel lived out and spoken by his people. And God has gifted every one of us to that end. No matter what your gift is, that is the end game, to bring glory to God. We're all gifted so we can contribute to the cause of Christ out of gratitude for what he did for us, because it's him that hung on the cross and his blood was shed to set us free. And we live in a world that's chained and bound by what they think love is. But true love speaks truth. True love is kind, just all kinds of stuff. But we're gifted. And in doing that, in sharing Christ, we'll find fulfillment in our life. And it's the job of church leaders to train people so that we can be equipped. And the intended results of spiritual gift is that the church as a whole can grow up and be strengthened by the combined supply of all of us living for God. We are called, I don't know if that was smooth or not, probably wasn't. What I'm trying to say is we need to live for God together and serve God honestly and rightly in this world. And the more we serve within our sanctuary and within our community and within our country and our world, the more people will come to know Christ, the more true love from God will be spread around this world. And sometimes we sit here and we think, oh, you know, what's wrong with this world? It's the youth of this world. They've been saying that ever since I was a youth of this world. That's been a long time ago, you know. We always blame it on somebody else. Do something. Do something empowered by God. Risk. Step out and make a difference in this world. Ask God, what can I do? And you sit there, oh, I'm scared to death. Oh, you know, I'm... Me too. I wish I could tell you. And I might share some of my story. I've shared it before. It's scary to serve God until you realize that I can do all things through Christ. But it's scary to get off the pew and get off the bench and serve God. Our church is being watched, okay? I'm thrilled about that. I'm thrilled that we're being watched because I respect you and I respect your reputation and I want to see you continue to grow instead of pulling people away from Christ, to draw them towards Christ by serving. The church has a huge amount of impact. I'm proud of you. Do something and we'll look at it in minute detail next week. Serve. Go ahead. Amen. See you guys next week. Serve well.